see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing.
Of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an end.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, hear our praise and ring. This is a song, a song to the King.
Let the worshipers rise. Let his sons and his daughters sing.
Let the sons and daughters sing.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. If the worshipers rise, then his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Father, I hear it growing louder.
Yes, we do.
The song of the redeemed.
The song of the redeemed.
As the saints of every nation,
oh,
are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song, a song to the King.
And his daughters sing.
Sons and daughters sing.
I'm surrendering my all.
Giving him my all.
I surrender to the King.
Let your worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, we hear that sound growing closer. The song of the redeemed. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed this morning? Look at somebody, shake their hand and say, I've been redeemed. How about you? Amen. We've been redeemed, brothers. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're sounding great this morning. What are you doing? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're quiet as a church house mouse. Aren't you glad you're redeemed this morning? Somebody say, I'm redeemed. Brother Rob, we've been redeemed, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? The incredible journey we took here last night. Amen. So we want to look at our prayer requests this morning. As you continue to fellowship, I'll read these prayer requests. Sister Sherrod Hamilton sends this in. Sherry Hamilton sends this in. Please pray for my husband's back and knee. Satan's been fighting him a lot in this area. We would like for the saints of God to hold him in prayer. So we just pray for that prayer request this morning, that the Lord would be mindful of that man. Sister Anna Altman wants to praise the Lord this morning for healing after an asthma attack at church on Wednesday night, and for the sister who prayed for me. I was able to stay afterwards. To all the people, those that are praying for me this week, I love you all, and she wants to thank the Lord for touching her body. So praise God for that. Sister Judy Keith wants to thank the church family for all the acts of kindness showed to me. I love you all, and I'm really glad to be able to come back to church. So she's here in the services with us. Thank God for that. Eva Brummett, the daughter of Sister Ruth Dean, would like to thank everyone that was involved in the funeral service, the meals and everything. So was so wonderful. She appreciates deeply all of your kindness. So we just continue to pray for that family this morning and remember them in prayer. Brother Baker wants to be remembered in prayer, suffering from a hip problem. Let's remember him. Brother Doug McKinney, his blood pressure has been very high. Also, he has gout in his feet, so we want to remember him. Brother Gene Lehman sends that in for Brother Doug. Let's pray for our brother today. Brother Matt Burns is not able to walk due to back problems. He is still dealing with a lot of pain from his foot as well. Sister Susan Burns sends that in, so let's remember Brother Matt as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Hamilton's family in North Carolina, due for their living conditions. Also, many problems in their family. We just commit it all unto the Lord, that God would be mindful. Sister Brenda Jones sends us in for Lincoln Keith. His platelets dropped to 33,000. He goes back to the doctor on Monday for more blood work. So we just commit that unto the Lord. A young man where my husband works that has had MRSA for over a year from a snake bite he got while mowing his mother's yard. He is now having seizures several times a week. So they're asking that we would remember him in prayer as well. Just commit all these things unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, we do. Let's sing that little chorus to that one more time. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. You've got a song that nobody else can sing like you. Amen. Are you glad you're a son of God? Are you glad you're a daughter of God? Give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. Sing that chorus for us, Brother Harry, one more time. Brother Rob could come this morning and lead us.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my own. I surrender to let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my home. I surrender to the King.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you once again for bringing us together in this assembly, Lord. Thank you for these prayer requests that have been made, Lord, and thank you for the testimonies that go forth by the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Help us as this body to become in one accord, that you can stretch forth your hand, heal, and the world won't understand, and they hate the things of God, but how we love them. And we want you to move forward in our assembly, Lord, with power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And when we can get in one accord, you can move through us, Lord, as a body. And I thank you, Lord, for that grace, the unmerited grace and favor that you've shared upon your bride, and that you've shared your throne with her as well. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace that this day that we receive in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us to the service, we want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning, Leaving on My Mind. I believe that's the theme of the bride anymore, is we're thinking more about home than we are about home. Where you live right now ain't home. It's just where you live right now. But we're going home, aren't we? Amen. Let's sing about it this morning, if you will. Singer, buddy.
The old house that I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutter are letting in the cold.
Bless you. You can be seated this morning. Sister Deanna Glenn has a song for us. Brother Harry has a song. After she sings this morning, we'll go right on into the service. Let's enjoy our specials this morning.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning, my morning, new mercies I see.
I'll start it, Brother Ronnie. Maybe you can find it.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my. Breaks to light and the shadows disappear. My faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is over.
Jesus. Amen. Well, if we have risen already, then that will just be a further work on it when that day arrives. Let's turn to Psalms today, if you would, chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71, verse 20. I'd like to speak to you again this morning on I must quicken my seed. The word quicken is found 13 times in the scripture. 12 of those times are in the book of Psalms, one time in the book of Romans. It's amazing that David had such an insight, even without the Holy Ghost, to know that there was something that needed to quicken him. He had the seed, but he didn't have the life. So it's like it was something calling, pulling to him. We'll read a few instances of that here today. Psalm 71:20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Psalms 119:25. Delith, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. quicken thou me according to thy word. Psalms 119 verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Psalms 119 verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Psalms 143:11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And then the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now in Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God. Moved upon the face of the waters. Now here in Romans, Paul says it this way. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, not anoint you, but dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's read that again. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let me read this to you from Christ the Mystery. It's just, I don't know, it just absolutely overwhelms me, this statement here. Notice the vindicated word. In His body is His very victory and the reason of His death. That is so powerful, and yet it is so simple. Is that possible? Now notice how He says this, the vindicated word. Now not just the written word. We're not talking about just memorization of scriptures, but it's the vindicated word. The vindicated word in His body, not in Himself, but in His body is His very victory and the reason of His death. See, the death, not in the spirit when He died. He only died in the flesh. His spirit went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. That's right. His flesh only died. Then He raised it up again and quickened it. Quicken means made alive. His flesh, which was His body. And that's His word. Now listen. It's been laying dead for years. But it gradually began to come in the Reformation. And now she's standing upon her feet. Glory. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus, truly, we're a blessed people to live in this day. It's a time of paradox, for it is the darkest, most sinful day that has ever been on the earth, that You created Your first man and placed him in the Garden of Eden. Sin has never been so rampant, sickness, disease, trouble. But yet the light of the gospel has never shined in such a magnitude, in such a great way. We know when the apostolic doctrine first started and the Holy Ghost fell, it was many, many years before it ever reached a place to where it covered different continents. But now here we are in this day that a preacher here in America can stand and preach, and at the same time people all over the world can hear that same sermon. Lord, we marvel at it, because we know it's a fast work and You'll complete it in Your right time. Quicken us here today, I pray, as we hear Your word and as we feed upon it, dear God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. to make it so it would harmonize perfectly, to allow it to be so that it would work without a flaw, designed with a great purpose in mind, that only He Himself could think of such a program, that His Word would be separated from quickening power, so a person would be able to receive Word, seed, and not be alive. Even He Himself, when He moved over the waters in the beginning, it was not just the earth then, not just you He was thinking about, but thinking of His own living upon the earth years and years later, that He would allow Himself as the Word in a human now, to be beaten, killed, whipped, crucified, suffer all that He could suffer, and yet the quickening power would not die. Amen. So He separated or severed His Word from quickening power. It's like He pulled it apart so that the Word could be sown, planted, believed, heard, written, discussed, talked about, all of that. But yet the quickening power would be a separate part from that Word. Once brought together, it would culminate in the complete perfection of what He wanted it to be. But it could be pulled apart. So it could be written and lay here in a book like this and read and studied. And, you know, people look at it for years and years. And without the quickening coming on it, they'd argue and debate and fuss and, you know, and it'd never really be real to them. He Himself, as He could come upon the earth, and even though He was the Word when He was born, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. So He was that portion of the Word. But yet He had not received the quickening until He was baptized by John that day and the Holy Ghost come and placed Him there with that fullness. So He did the same thing for us with that in mind, the same thing for the earth. The Spirit of God could sow the seeds and they could fall down beneath the water and they could lay there for centuries as it was. They could lay there for years and millennia. They would lay there without anything ever happening to them until the quickening would be able to move upon them. Now, in doing that, He does it in a natural sense and He does it in a spiritual sense, that the Word would be able to lay in the Old Testament. It would come down through the New Testament, the falling of the quickening of the bride seed, going to the seed into the grave rather of denominations, and the bride could lay there, the seed of promise could lay there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it would be identified as His Word. They would study it. They would look at it and say, you know, there's got to be a greater day coming. There's got to be something greater than this. There's got to be more than this. But yet the Word would lay there with nothing happening to it until the quickening power would anoint it. Now, once the quickening power moves upon it, then it gives the life, or it is the dynamics to the Word. Now, God divided it so to where that it would be thus. Now, if He hadn't have done it that way, whenever He spoke His words in the beginning, let there be, let there be, let there be, and mechanics and dynamics are both hooked together, as soon as He said it, it would have happened immediately. If He would have not separated mechanics from dynamics when He said in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 35:3, Zechariah 6:12, Haggai 2:17, Malachi 3, all these different prophecies, well, as soon as He said it, a virgin would conceive. She would have. As soon as He said, behold, your God shall come, the lame man shall leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, the eyes of the blind shall come open. It would happen immediately. But He separated mechanics from dynamics. The mechanics could come and lay there in the Word for hundreds or even thousands of years until the dynamic struck it. Now, once a dynamic strikes it, then it will bring to pass what is there. And it's the same. Don't you understand why Satan wants us as message people to put all of our emphasis on mechanics only? Amen. Satan, now listen to me. Satan don't care if you listen to Brother Branham every day of your life. Satan don't care if you listen to me every day of your life or any other preacher every day of your life and you memorize every word that I say or you memorize every word that Brother Branham says. As long as you do not receive quickening power, he knows you won't come up anyhow.
All you'll do is become a message theologian and you'll still be dead in your sins. But if you ever receive those dynamics on top of those mechanics, oh my, he knows he can't handle you then. Now, his purpose, remember, in overshadowing the earth and his great wings, as we looked at it last night, is to manifest himself. Look at this in the absolute. Brother Ben says he died so he could come himself into that word. He is the quickening life that makes that word live again. He's the quickening life that makes that word live again. That was his purpose of dying, that he could still project himself through the church. Through the church and make every word through every age act exactly the way it's supposed to act. They were supposed to do the way they did in the days of Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. But we're supposed to do this way today. Amen. Now that's what always causes a problem, is that folks want us to act the way they did before back here. But we've got to be quickened to the crop of this hour. Notice again, he said there's only one thing that can quicken the word, and that is the Spirit. For it is the life giver to the word, and when the life in the word meets the life of the Spirit, it produces whatever the seed is. Now, it's a strange analysis that Brother Branham uses in a natural analogy to be able to compare it to a spiritual one. He says, let us say today that we're all going to go to Tucson after the service. The service is 4/18/65. It is the rising of the sun. Now we're all going to Tucson after the service, he says. And we're all going to drive a Cadillac. Now he says, here's two Cadillacs. They both roll off of the assembly line. They both have nickel-plated steering wheel. Beautiful doe skin, the softest of the leather, he said. Diamond studs in the steering wheel, and he goes through all the things, you know, the pistons and this and that and the other. And he said they both had the engine that has been mechanically tested and proven to be the right kind of engine. They're both filled up with gasoline. Now he said the gasoline is the mechanics. But he said you roll them off the assembly line and you go to start them, and one of them doesn't have a spark. Now he said, even though the gasoline has the mechanics, the spark is what really proves the gasoline. Now he said, if not, you might as well have water in your tank. Now you realize that what Satan will try to do now is mess with mechanics and dynamics. Now to those who lean toward only emotion, then they will take everything about emotion and all that, all the healing and the signs and the wonders and shouting and running and all that sort of thing. Oh my, that'll be their emphasis. Others will say, bless God, we are deep in the word and we're this and that and the other, and they lean more toward the mechanics. But myself, I want to be able to have spark and gasoline in the same Cadillac. Amen. Now what good does it do to set out our men and polish the hubs, as he said, and give it a Simonized job, and to be able to look at it and said, oh my, you know how wonderful this is. Boy, this is a message Cadillac. It is absolutely beautiful. We say every word that he said. Man, I'll tell you one thing. It's absolutely beautiful. The nickel is genuine. The wheels are polished. Oh, it's got a beautiful Simonized job. Oh, but what good does it do if we ain't got no fire? Now fire is not necessarily emotion. Fire will bring emotion, but you cannot always determine that fire is emotionally oriented. A lot of folks jump and run and scream, but they ain't got no dynamics, because if they did, it would really lead them to the foundation of the word. So dynamics is more than screaming and hollering and shouting and loud music. We want that word quickened that'll help us to live a life and to quit shouting. What good does it do you to shout your shoe heels off if you don't live a good godly life and you're shouting in spike heels? So a lot of folks in the mess. I don't think there's nothing to this. I don't think this is a Cadillac at all. I believe I'm going back to Pentecost. It won't start. Well, they can get you started, all right. That's for sure. Well, I believe believe I'm going back to Baptist. Hallelujah. We don't get all this worked up and all this bunch of nonsense. But the real bride gets in, sets down, buckles up, gets everything set. Pull it down and drive. Where you going? Tucson. And I mean, I'm riding in style. I got this message Cadillac polished up. I'm sitting in the finest of leather. I ain't sitting in no Volkswagen. If I'm going across the desert, I want to go in comfort, don't you? If I'm going out of this world, brother, I don't want to go out of here and I'll say, well, pray for me that I can make it. It's not me making it no how. He already made it for me. Pray for me that I'll hold on. I ain't holding on. It's him holding on to me. Now watch this. He says, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you. Also, and quickened to life was him, you are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thoughts, but God saw all in him. At the finish, when God looked down upon that body. But remember, he went there with you. Any of y'all remember? Of course not. Could you scientifically prove it? Of course not. But do we believe it? Of course we do. He went there with you in him. See, God had never separated the bride from the groom. Now Peter would have looked at Jesus and saw only a man. John would have looked at Jesus and saw only a man. But when God looked at Jesus, he saw a man and a woman. Glory. For those of you who wasn't with us last night, I feel sorry for you today because you're going to say, Lord, have mercy. How could that be? Because the same God who created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he them, male and female, created he them and called their name Adam. And there was only one. That same God, when he looked at Jesus walking upon the earth, he didn't just see his son. He saw his sons. He saw his sons and his daughters. Every seed that would ever embrace eternal life. When God looked at Jesus, he saw them both. Foolish virgins wasn't in him. Church wasn't in him. All that wasn't in him. But remember, he didn't see the church in Jesus. He didn't see the foolish virgins in Jesus. He saw the bride in Jesus. Now Jesus walks upon the earth and the bride is not separate from him. She's in him. But remember, Jesus was not a sissy. Jesus didn't have a feminine spirit to make him act like a woman. But he must carry his bride in his body. Watch now, when God, oh my, God had never separated the bride. Friend, don't you see? Being the bride is not just listening to tapes. We think we can make people bride because we bring them to this message. You're not making nobody bride. God's the one who made them bride, not me and you. There'll be all kinds of folks that'll listen to this message that'll never be bride. You're not bride because you believe God sent a prophet. You're bride because of who you are, and that leads you to the prophet's message. So here's the second man, Adam, walking on the earth, and his bride is hidden. So the devil, when he comes to him in Matthew 4, he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Did you ever notice Jesus and his response to that? Jesus never argued with him all day like we do, trying to convince the devil, I'm a Christian, I'll tell you one thing. You're wasting your time. You spend all day telling him today you are, tomorrow he'll come right back and say, you ain't no Christian. Just ignore him. Oh, it aggravates the life out of him. He can't stand it. Just ignore him. Don't pay no attention to him. He's the biggest liar that ever lived. So Jesus, don't even deal with it. Satan was not able to say, apparently, I was in him. But how are you going to get the bride out of the groom? Well, since God put her in there, it's up to God to get her out. So God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. They are one. Same word. Same word that spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. God foresaw the bride in the groom. Hallelujah. Oh my. To save his wife, like Adam, he had to go with her. Adam knew what he was doing. Eve didn't know what she was doing. Now let's just be honest. Most of the time we don't know what we're doing either. We're dumb as a bunch of hound dogs. We don't know. We don't know which way's up and which way's down. A big majority of our life. I'm so glad God knows what's going on. Oh, I'm so glad he ain't depending on us and our great spirituality, because ain't so many times I'd have missed him a million miles, but he knows what's going on. Amen. Amen. Notice he said Jesus took his wife's place. Became sin for her. Remember, he became you. He stood your punishment that you might stand in his place. He stood in your place that you might stand in his. So here is the second Adam, and his bride is in him. Now God must get her out of that body. But he can't take her out just any time. She's got to come out at the right time. So he lets her stay in that body until the body has completed the stage necessary for redemption. Watch this in Colossians 2:13. Paul says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. In the Greek it says, having forgiven you your faults. Notice, he didn't change your species. He didn't change your genus. He only forgave you the faults that was hanging over your soul. He didn't come to take you a goat, make you a sheep. You already was a sheep. But he come to what? Quicken you. He had put that seed of God inside of you, but severed that seed of God from quickening power. So it could lay in you. And you would sit out there on a bar stool and drink. And get so drunk, you didn't even know who you was. And then later on in that night, or early the next morning, you say, oh God, there's got to be something more. There's got to be more. There's got to be. And then you go get drunk again. And then you come to yourself and say, oh God, there's got to be more. And you don't get drunk again. And some of you was alcoholics. You was addicted. Some of you addicted to dope, addicted to this, that, and the other. And the devil, oh my, he so studied you and got you so addicted that he felt there's no way they can live without it. But one day, the resurrection come to you. Lord Jesus. One day the resurrection come to you in the form of the promised word of the hour, and that seed that was laying inside of you that give you that pull toward God, all of a sudden it become empowered. Let me hold that. Watch this. Brother Lim says you can hear all the theology you want to. Let me say it this way. You can hear the quotes until you're up to here at them. But until them quotes become a living reality to your heart. Somebody's going to get mad, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It won't do you no more good than sitting in a Baptist church hearing what they preach. As a matter of fact, it'll make you harder and worse. Because we got more truths. Let's just be honest and say it's the facts. That's why a lot of folks, I believe with all my heart, around the message are getting discouraged and they're getting where they just going somewhere else and doing whatever. You know why? Because they're hearing so many things and they cannot produce it. We cannot produce it on our own. And we cannot do it by rallying more quotes. We don't need more quotes. We don't need more quote books. We need quickening. We need quickening power to quicken what we've heard and make it real to us. And then live itself out of our lives. But when that word flashes out there, and there's something takes a hold and you come to it, you who were once dead in sin, that life is quickened. But notice now how this works. There has to be a life there to quicken to first. God by his foreknowledge knowed all things, and we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. You who were once dead in sin and trespasses, where when we all in times past, oh my. Brother Donnie, I was seeing that I need to be saved. You sure did. You're as meaner than a snake. Many of you as sorry and rotten as you could be. That old life, that old nature. Not that seed now. Look at Paul. When Paul was a great theologian, but he come face to face with that word. Wonder how many times Paul read the Old Testament prophecies of the New Testament. Wonder how many times Paul read in the book of Joel, it shall come to pass that I'll pour out of my spirit upon the sun. Wonder how many times that Paul knew that and Paul read it, but it was seed only. And seed was reading seed and killed Christians. Do you understand why message folks can gossip and tell lies and run down and cause messes in the trouble? They know, no doubt some of them are seed and they're hearing seed, but they've not been quickened yet. You ever get the Holy Ghost, your days of causing the pastor of trouble, it's going to be over. Then you're going to start causing the devil trouble. Glory! Your days of going around causing church splits and all kinds of this, that, and other in the house of God, them days are over. Now you're going to start causing hell trouble. So you're a man with a seed. Reach the word. Moses said this, and Moses said that, and Moses said something. Bunch of holy rulers. I'm going to kill them. So Jesus gets him out on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden, here he goes with this message quotes under his arm. I'm going to go down and I'm going to show him who's the boss. Really? I think you're fixing to find out who's the boss. Notice, a quote book didn't fly to heaven. The Torah didn't come out and hit Paul in the face. But the quickening power. Oh, glory! What was it that came to Paul? Quickening power. Ooh, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. And it's hard for you to kick against the... Why are you persecuting me in feminist form? Glory to God. So she says, you go up there and wait. And I'm going to send somebody from my wife up to help get you straightened out, boy. I know you'd prefer Elohim. You'd prefer the rooster. You'd prefer the male eagle. But here comes mama. It was not Elohim that come down there and baptized him. It was not the great mighty Adonai. The female counterpart of Elohim. Oh,
And Ananias walks in and says, "Brother Saul." "The Lord Jesus has sent me to pray for you that you might receive your sight. He has told me to tell you that you are a chosen vessel and that you will suffer many things for his name." Glory to God. Who was it? Ruach Elohim in the New Testament, now in bride form. You imagine Ananias being afraid of this man and being fearful of this man, but something moved upon him, the compassion of the Almighty, and be able to embrace Saul in his arms and say, "Brother Saul." Praise the Lord Jesus. Now it says, "Arise, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You need an immersion, Brother Saul, to have this new creation set in the cycle of your body. And you imagine as Ruach Elohim comes and lays his hands on Saul. And when Ananias takes his hands away, Paul said, "I can see. I can see the bride. Give me my sight back." Glory! Notice his victory for him to be able to quicken mortals and do the same works that he done. Whew. Watch. Brother Bim says, speaking of Paul, he was part of the Word. And when the Word saw the Word, it was his nature. Now Saul was seeing the Word for a long time, but the Word hadn't saw the Word. Glory! Once the Word in Paul saw the Word written for the hour, then something changed altogether. He was not a persecutor of the elect. He became one of them. Now watch. He was part of the Word. And when the Word saw the Word, it was his nature. All the clucking of the hens in the Orthodox churches didn't have no effect upon him. He had saw the Word. It was part of him. He was an eagle. He wasn't a chicken. He was just in the barnyard with him. He sure acted like one. Boy, he went up to old Rooster Gamaliel. Man, I'll tell you one thing, and all the rest of them, and they give him some law. "I'm going to go down there, glory to God. I'm going to have a barnyard and be dead or hallelujah." But Papa swarmed over him and affected his eyes. So here he goes. Led him down there to a street called Straight. And now the bride had been separated from the groom. So a bride member walked in. Amen. Hallelujah. And began to speak the words of life, which helped now bring this seed to a quickening. Oh. Watch this, he says he was an eagle to begin with. Paul speaking there said, "We who were in time past one time, my, we were dead in sin and trespasses, who God has quickened us and made us alive." Now see, before anything can be quickened, there has to be something there to be quickened by. So you see, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, then you are becoming a part of God. And the only way you can be a son or daughter of God, you had to be a part of God. Listen to this. And God isn't complete without you. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand? Heaven would be heaven without many, many, many of the foolish virgins ever being there. Heaven would be heaven without many of those that will live on the outside. Because they don't have nothing to do with heaven anyway. But heaven would not be heaven without those of you who have an inheritance in that city. It couldn't be so that you'd walk down this avenue and look up in that house and say, well, that person there was supposed to be here, but man, I don't know how it happened. Somehow in my foreknowledge, it got messed up somehow. I thought they'd be here, but they got in trouble somehow in life and it didn't work out where they'd be here. That one empty house in eternity would be an entire reproach on Elohim for as long as there is a day, as long as there is anything. That's why, my friends, it is so solid in Himself. This is why He orchestrated it this way, to know that there would be a people. This was His heart purpose, to have a people like to Himself. And in order to make it where it would be totally, absolutely guaranteed, He would take them from Himself. That way, knowing they will come back to Him. Watch this. I love this in the Easter seal. Now the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained alive in this age. Many years ago, when the message broke in Zimbabwe, many of the pastors and ministers there today, some of the senior men of Zimbabwe, were college people at that time. Somebody had written to Jeffersonville, heard about the message and got a book, read a little bit of it, didn't really like what they found, went into a public restroom, tore it up, threw it in the garbage. Here comes a little old black man searching for life. Glory to God. Goes into a public restroom to be able to use the restroom. He looks over in the garbage. And there lays a torn eagle foot. He didn't know it was eagle foot. No more than he knew he was an eagle. But out of curiosity, he picked up that eagle foot. Oh, okay. So he takes it out and he goes going home. I'm trying to read it and figuring out, is that page gold? What is it? So he found an address on the back and was able to write and get more. And then he started telling some of his other brothers and on and on and on and on it went. So what one person classified as garbage, and they were nothing but a carrier to drop it off in a local pickup for an eagle. The same way with every one of you. What people call us an occult and make fun of us, and even your own family and friends say you've lost your mind. They are true. We have lost our mind and found the mind of Jesus Christ. All glory to God. Why? Because we have been quickened. So the Holy Ghost is looking out those individuals. Watch. He ain't looking for a group now. Okay, there's Happy Valley group. There's Evening Light group. There's that group. There's that fellowship. He ain't looking for groups. He's looking for individuals. Individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super Son of God, who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes His place of abode into the human life. Now notice, brought the quickening power. That quickening power that came upon Jesus. Listen what it done to Him. Quickened Him to manifest every promise of the Word of that day. So when He comes to the earth, He separates His own visitation from quickening power. So He makes Himself dependent on the same way every son or daughter of God will have to be in the future years of this program of God. That they will have to have quickening power. No doubt Jesus was taught the Torah. No doubt he was read and then he read it over again. It was not his mama. It was not his mama that was able to quicken that word. But the Holy Ghost. If Jesus could unroll the scroll, Deuteronomy 18:15, behold, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me from among your brethren. Any man who will not hear that prophet will be cut off from among the people. Intellectually, he could have known that was him. But he can't be quickened by intellect. If he is, then you and I can be quickened just by reading it. So he severed the seed from the quickening power. I think we're too dependent on our own intelligence. We think we're so smart and we know so much and we've been around for so long, we don't even pray for quickening no more. We just go by our own ability. Well, I've got a bachelor's degree. I've got a this. What good does that do you when it comes to revelation? All your degrees can work against you if you ain't dependent on revelation. Them degrees, you know, is really good for a freezer and a refrigerator. I'm not sure what good they are for a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. But all the intellects you get, it'll have to sort through all that till you believe the Word. Because there's things about the Word you'll never be able to prove nor believe intellectually. So how did Jesus get to this spot to be quickened? To know who he was. Notice he said the quickening power that came upon Jesus quickened him. To manifest every promise of the word of that day. So does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. If it's not a mocker Holy Spirit. You're not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit. But real true Holy Spirit. It'll manifest the promise of this hour. So then I ask you. What is the promise of now? 2012. What is the promise for now? For where we are. Is it God's going to build an ark? Are we going to come out of the land of Egypt? Is it that we're looking for a future advent of a prophet? What's the promise for you? What is your promise? That's what the Holy Ghost wants to quicken to you. Not to something that's past, but your promise. Well, I know the answer. I got it in front of me. I'm just wondering if you know. Notice he says, it's the honest or the potential, the quickening power of the resurrection. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's indwelling in you the potential. Now notice, you are on your way growing to the full resurrection. Good Lord, you mean this morning I'm growing into a resurrection? Well, when I was a baby, I grew into a boy. When I was a boy, I grew into a young man. From adolescence, I grew into a man. And you mean now I started out as the seed of God, quickened by eternal life. And this morning, right before you, I am growing to the full resurrection. We've made the resurrection one event that happens one time and we are wrong. The resurrection is a growth. Friends, I'm convinced there's many folks sitting in message churches that do not believe this message. That's why they sit and look at you like you're from another world when your ready is cut. Oh, Brother Donnie, do you understand? That has nothing to do with it, understanding and believing it. And when I need to understand it, he'll quicken it to me. Now watch, you're growing to the full resurrection. No tree! Just comes up overnight. So you mean Ruach Elohim? When he brought a little bit of calcium and it come rolling down the hill, oozing over the hill. When atoms begin to form together to make matter. And when this little bit of calcium oozed over the hill that had been mud just a few weeks prior to this. And it bumps into a little petroleum and a little bit of cosmic light and a little bit of iron. And a little bit of copper. And he fluttered. Come. Come. I want beauty on the earth.
want yellows. I want reds. I want oranges. I want blues. I want purples. I want lilac. Ruach Elohim is a process. When Yosh, glory to God, I was quickened 40 years ago. Quickened is not something past tense alone. It's something ongoing. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. Well, it ain't been quite that long that I got it, but I got it how many ever years ago, and then I got it day before yesterday, and yesterday, and I'm going to get it tomorrow, and the next day after that, and the next day after that, and I'm refilling after refilling after refilling after refilling. I don't want to just put one day and say, well, I've got it in, glory to God. I don't need no more. I need all He's got for me, because I'm going into a resurrection. I've got to have resurrection power. Watch, Brother Ben said, no tree comes up overnight. It's got to grow. And we grow in grace and the knowledge of God. Led by the Spirit to quicken the Word to you who is believers. And the Word keeps. When a preacher gets up and says, well, I'm going to take my text from Acts 2:30. Oh, dear God. I've heard that for 57 years. But maybe God's going to quicken it to you in a way that you've never heard before. Friends, if time goes on 500 more years and preachers come on preaching this message, they'll still be preaching things that broke into eternity. You understand this message? Oh my, what will it be when we get there? And He continuously unveils His being to us. Y'all sitting and saying, well, what do you think? Should we go to church today or not? I don't know. You know how he is. Poor old guy. I mean, I don't know if he's got dementia. I don't know if it's because he's a hillbilly and he don't know no better. But I mean, the least little thing just tears him all to pieces. He just finds one little Greek word and you think he's going to turn somersaults. You know, maybe we should try to find another church where the pastor is more intellectual. More broad-minded, more, you know, that's more understanding. I mean, if you don't go to church, they preach on you. I mean, and, you know, if you don't just live right up to par, they just make you feel like a dog. And I just don't understand him. The feelings are mutual. I don't understand you that don't want to come to the house of God. I don't understand you that when this word is being preached, which is the life of the bride, and you'd rather go here and go there and do this and that and the other, and can't wait till that preaching is done, there's something wrong with you. My, if we are feeding on a resurrection message, why would not we want to feed and feed and feed and feed? So the word just keeps quickening. Now, I mentioned to you before, I've been listening to the Rising of the Sun, Easter Seal, and Huitz Melchizedek for the last probably month and a half. I start out early in the morning, and I'll listen to it, go to the end of it, listen to it again, go to the end of it, listen to it again. I may listen to it four or five times a day. So I'll probably listen to the Rising of the Sun probably 60, 70 times in the last few weeks. But you see, every time I turn that on, I don't say, I've heard this before. Now, I wonder how much I'd get if I went to God with that attitude. Now, God, I've done heard this before, and I'm sure I know everything. Because you know how I am. God, see, I know how you're a dummy. So I need to listen to it again and again and again and again. And then I'll listen to it, and I'll say, man, where was I at those 67 other times? So I hear something, boy, I must have gleaned out everything. I'll go right back to the beginning again. And I just think, man, where was I just an hour ago? I listened to that an hour ago. You know what it is? Quickening power. And we don't control it. We do not have a switch to turn it off and on, off and on. He quickens it to us. Do you understand, friend, what's going on? It's the process of the rapture. For those who are being quickened
by revelation after another, after another. Do you understand what the rapture will be? It'll only be one more quickening of their entire journey. They were quickened initially, brought to from death into life. And this is my son was dead and now he's alive. And then they started being quickened. And then quickened again. Maybe by their clothes and their behavior and their language and certain things they shouldn't say and this and that and the other. Kept quickening, quickening, quickening. And then he got in the revelation of the word. And they said, oh my, oh how wonderful, how wonderful. Oh, and you're sitting there again. Oh my glory, can't get no better, can't get no better. And God said, yeah, you can't do, you just don't know. How many services have we left out here and said, that's the best I ever heard in my life? Boy, the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. Come back to the next service. Boy, that's the best I ever heard. Would you make up your mind? Man, I'll tell you what, that Brother Timber, I believe it's the best sermon I ever heard in my life. Somebody else come and say, man, that's the best sermon I ever heard in my life. Boy, Brother Amos, that's the best I ever heard in my life. You understand what's happening to you? You're being quickened. Amen. Do you understand that's a great sign that you're alive?
Well, nothing moves me, glory to God. I understand. The theme song of your life. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Just like a bump sitting on a pickle. I shall not be moved.
I don't want to be a bump on a pickle. I don't even want to be the pickle. I want to be a seed that can be quickened. If I'm 100 years old and the rapture still ain't took place and y'all roll me up on a wheelchair and you get a new preacher and y'all just let me roll over here on the side, I'm going to say, glory to God. And every now and then when I come to myself, I'll say, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Never seen that before. Glory to God! Every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life. You know what encourages me to keep on preaching? It's quotes like this. Friends, if you know one little bit of what I deal with, not just in this church, around the world, if you knew one little bit of what I have to deal with, every day I deal with cancer and death and divorces and ministers caught up in this and this going on and not just in our church. If I looked at that, I'd be so discouraged. I think, God, I'm wasting my time. But it's not them things that keep me going. It's these things right here. Every predestinated, ever foreordained seed of God, they're going to come to it. When that light spreads across the earth and the glorious gospel, notice how he sequences now. In every age, it'll bring forth the crop that God has ordained it to do. In the days of Luther, Brother Branham said he promised them rabbits. In the days of others, he promised them other things. But in this day, all seven seals are opened for those who can receive the full word of God. Rabbits is good if that's the only thing you can eat. But why in the world would I want an old dead rabbit when I can sit down to a T-bone? Or a prime rib from the prime one himself? Ooh, glory to God. Why would I want to feed some old rotten rabbit? Oh my goodness. Just knock the maggots off. And Luther said, and Wesley and... If that's what you want, go ahead, vulture. Pardon me while I sit down to my prime rib. Excuse me while I cut it to make sure it's cooked to my taste. While the waiter stands near. Is it to your liking, sir? Absolutely perfect. Prime rib from the Son of Man.
And it's been aged longer than 14 days. As a matter of fact, it was before the foundation of the world. And he just happened to give me some taste buds down inside of me. Even when I was out there in Pentecost and I thought I had the light. When I was out there eating on them rabbits and eating on them old squirrels and whatever more. Oh my. I was like little Ruth when Ruth started out. She started out gleaning in the field and she found a little seed here and a little shuck there. I ate shucks, refried, dried, duck fried, every way you could fix them. I don't want no more shucks. Glory to God, I had all the shucks. I wanted back on. Why should I eat shucks when I've got the revealed word, the manifested seed of the hour? If you want shucks, go ahead and take them, and here's mine too. But I don't want shucks.
And y'all ever eat shucks on your way up? Just coming up to the Lord, I mean? Sure you have. You went to a Baptist church, Pentecostal church, you eat shucks. You want any more shucks? No. I don't care how you fix them. Fry them, refry them. Fix them Mexican style, Chinese style, Japanese style, when you get down to steer shucks.
And then the king has the angels to come down and says, sir, the maitre d' is here. We have a table reserved for you. That's his little fancy thing. I said, I'm coming, sir. In your party, you come. Your seat, sir. Thank you. Sir, whatever you'd like tonight, the full menu is yours.
Amen.
Every now and then, me and Carol go out to eat. There'll be somebody from the church there, somebody that I know, and we'll sit there and order, you know, and then get ready to pay for it. Somebody will say, that man sitting right over there, they were sitting there, they done took care of yours. I'm looking and they're gone. Or sometimes they'll be sitting behind me or whatever. I'll wave at them and say, thank you. Jesus sets me down at the table. I said, Donnie, it's all yours. You want salad? You want soup? What do you want? You want a loaded baked potato? You want the bread, the rainbow bread? Oh, it's the freshest from heaven. What do you want? It's all yours. It's paid for. And it won't make you fat, but it will make you free. Glory to God. It ain't going to give you all kinds of calories and sugar. It's going to give you a raptured faith. And then you expect me to get up from that table and go back to a Ryan's buffet where people have sneezed and spit and slobbered and that bunch of garbage. If that's your cup of tea, go ahead. I don't drink tea.
You mean I'm supposed to leave this and come back to what you think is the provided meal for this hour? Show me what it's doing for you. Oh, glory. Notice the crop in this age. What crop is it? The bride crop. So the Son of Man was waved over the crop in order to bring her to her place. Notice, on Easter morning, not only did he raise, his beneficiaries raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. And they were in him at his resurrection. Well, where in the world did I go in between them two advents? And them two things that took place. So I was in him when he died. And I was in him when he got up. Beneficiaries quickened after dead and darkness, the darkened world of unbelief, where churches and denominations and so forth brought us out. But there's something in us calling us. Oh, we want God. We're hungering and thirsting for God. We joined the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, what more? And still there was something wrong. We just couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, while we were groping in darkness, the great resurrection come to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I must quicken my seed.
once he quickens. It's a continual unfolding until they depart from this life. You may go many years from great paramount revelations in your life. Abraham did. You look at Abraham and you time him in the scripture. Years went by from one great revelation to another. If God would have paced him as fast as he is for us today, he'd never been able to take it. Then it makes you wonder, where are we? Where are we, my friends, in time? If God is allowing his word to so prick our hearts and quicken and quicken and quicken and quicken. Wonder where we are. Growing to this full resurrection. Oh, let me close with this. Oh my, the predestinated ones, of course, like the seed laid upon the earth. The one that had life in them. Many of them were dead. They were just rotten seed. The waters and things burned them out. But you know, there was a seed laying there ready for life. And God knew it was laying there. The predestinated ones are the first one to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit comes to claim its own. Now this is deep. Let me read you this one. And you are quickened. This quickening power brings your body into a raptured condition already. Brother Donnie, you say, I'm sitting here this morning with a headache. I'm sitting here this morning with a tumor in my body. I'm sitting here with a disease. I had to take a shot for my sugar before I come in. I had to take a blood pressure pill. I have to take... That has nothing to do with this. When John baptized Jesus, that part of the earth kept right on sinning. But it's received its baptism anyway. When the blood dripped on it, he claimed it. It's a process in God. God ain't discouraged because the process is as long as it is. Don't you be. It brought your rapture. Notice the Pentecostal people up there, when they got quickened by the Holy Spirit, listen to me, he said. When that Pentecostal group up there, on the day of Pentecost, received their abstract deed from God. It glorified their souls. But notice what else it done. They screamed. They saw tongues of fire separated on each of them. It so quickened their body. Maybe I should bleep out this quote here. Beep, 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 beep. It so quickened their body. They couldn't even speak an earthly language anymore. It quickened their body to a heavenly language. The place they're going to. Quickening power of God shook their mortal body so till their entire mortal language was transfigured. Transformed into an immortal language. What a quickening power. Oh, now you say, wait a minute, Brother Donnie. They were speaking Syrian and speaking, was they really? The miracle was not that they were speaking many, many languages. The miracle was in the hearing. Peter could speak, no doubt, Hebrew and Aramaic and maybe portions of Greek and that. But he couldn't speak this before because he hadn't been taught this before now. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. We are quickened by the power of the living God. Tongues quickened to a new heavenly language. To speak to them, a rapturing up. Raising up into a different atmosphere than they had ever lived in. You see what a rapture is? Friends, this is why you don't want to leave this place. Why? Because momentarily, for 45 minutes or an hour or two, whatever it is, we leave this building in rapture. And we get caught up into a realm and we're feasting and hearing things. And then as it goes to winding down, and say, no, 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 please don't stop. Don't stop. No. No, don't stop. Please, no, no, no. Let's stay a little longer. Let's stay a little longer. Why do you feel that way? Because you've soared in the heavenlies. And you can feel yourself coming back to the earth again. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. Let's stand. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
The emphatic diglot says it this way. If but the spirit of him having raised up Jesus out of the dead ones dwells in you. He having raised the anointed out of dead ones will make alive also the mortal bodies of you through the indwelling of him spirit. Notice, not his spirit, him spirit. Him. The indwelling of him spirit. In you. Now, Brother Brandon says you used to walk around, big old cigar stuck out of your mouth. Cigarette. You women with pants on. This and that and the other. All of a sudden, you were quickened. You said, no more short wording for me. No more creeds for me. No more denominations for me. He said, what was it? You was an eagle. An eagle to an eagle. Jump down to your brother's paragraph 55, Easter says, now the promised Messiah, he quickened every word that was promised he would do. Heal the sick. How he would be born of a virgin, all that. It's true. He was the word manifested on earth. But he could not do this as a man. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. Now you imagine the Lord Jesus needed this quickening power. Now, do you honestly believe that Jesus shouted the way the Pentecostals do? Can you imagine Jesus? Ooh, I feel it. Glory to God, it's all over me. Well, if he did, there's nothing in the scripture that says that. Jesus didn't preach like me. He sat and taught many times. Jesus probably wasn't a very dynamic Pentecostal charismatic type of preacher. Yet he was the greatest one that ever spoke. But he didn't choose to go that way. That's not belittling him at all. Right? They didn't call him preacher, they called him teacher. Rabbi, master, Rabboni, teacher. But nobody could say the words he said. So I wonder, do we know what the anointing is? Quickening. Is it just movement, emotion? Sweating, shouting, running, jumping. Same as, I didn't hardly get nothing out of the service. And your soul is saying, you didn't. Lord, I thought I was going to be changed. You know why? Because it can be quickened in here. And this old knothead out here said, well, I didn't get nothing. I about went to sleep. I guarantee you one thing. There's been times that your old hard-headed carcass went to sleep and that soul was having a resurrection on the inside. My Lord, if he cannot do that, wake you up in church, he sure can wake you up and you go in the grave. Friends, don't you see? This is why you need to pray when you listen to tapes. Pray before you read your Bible. God, quicken this word to me. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today, Father. Lord, I am so, so thankful and so encouraged by what we can see that you're doing. Lord, there's people turning away and people saying they don't believe the word anymore. People living loose and living all kinds of lives. But yet, Lord, there's a crop coming up at the same time. It was a time of paradox in Genesis 1. Verse 2, the scripture tells us the earth was without form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, moved upon the face of the waters. So you begin to flutter. The birds, the beasts, the fowls flew out of your nest. Hallelujah. As you mothered them and hovered over them. Yet at the first dawn of creation, that first morning, something great, phenomenal was going on. But yet at the same time, the earth was so bleak and so dark. We look around us in this day, it's dark politically, financially, economically. Everywhere we look, it's darkness all around us.
Our prayers will never take it away. It has to come to this place to be reborn. But yet, Lord, at the same time, the light of God has never shined so great in our hearts. And we're so thankful. And we know it's not for everybody. Some people just come to church. It's the thing to do on Sunday morning. They really don't even understand a lot of what I say. It don't make no sense to them. But they're in the message, so Brother Bam said you should go to church. So they just go. They don't really get anything. But there's others, Lord, that have been quickened. Revelation by revelation, just setting their soul afire. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us. Whatever category we fit into, may we be all that we can be. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts today. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help me. Since I come to this message many years ago and started studying it, dear God, studied it nearly every day of my life. I've looked at thousands, hundreds of thousands of quotes, thousands and thousands of scriptures. And Lord, instead of it getting old and monotonous, it's getting more real. More real to me than it's ever been before. And I am so grateful. Because I know what I'm experiencing now in the Word. It's my life. It's my journey. And when I come up, if I'm alive, when I come up to the rapture, all it'll be is just one more quickening. For those that we bury, their bodies, we take them out and put them in the grave. Oh, Jesus, they followed the Word and they were quickened revelation by revelation by revelation. And when they go down in the grave, all it'll take is just one more quickening to bring them up out of that grave. Help us to see the value, Lord. And it, Lord God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many loves him today with all of your heart? Do you see your need, friends, to be quickened continuously? Don't come to the message and stop and say, well, I've come to the message, I've embraced it, what more can I do? You're just starting. You want God to continually quicken you. If you listen to the same take 10 times and don't get nothing out of it, say, well, I've done gleaned through that. I don't mean you've gleaned through it. Maybe the 11th time is the time God wants you to get it. When Brother Brown preached the message, recognize your dad's message, he was sitting there and got sick, eat some corn the day before that, made him sick. And he said he sat there reading his Bible, go to sleep, read his Bible, go to sleep. Felt like he couldn't get nothing from God. He said, Satan, you're trying to hinder me. That great sermon, recognize your dad's message. And Brother Brown went to sleep reading his Bible. He said, but I thought, Satan, if you're trying to stop me, I'm going to keep knocking at the door. It's the same way with you. You come to church, this baby cries, and that happens, and that happens, and the PA's messed up, and the guitar's in the wrong note, and the organ hits the wrong note. That's the devil trying to stop you. You keep on knocking. Lord, I need to be quickened today. I don't need the Holy Ghost. I need this Word quickened to me. Praise the Lord. Let the worshipers arise. Let's sing before we go. I hope I have made you so fat. I hope that I have filled you up to your eyeballs. Till you got prime rib hanging out your ears. Until y'all just gonna waddle out of here today. You're going to eat, I'm too full. I'm gonna have to go lay down and take a nap. We'll go eat later. Hallelujah! Friends, one of these days, it's going to change us. We are shaped to this Word image as we feed on the Word. You minister, brothers, come pray for these brothers. Help me, would you? Sing it, Harry.
Father, I see that you are drawing line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side. Holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. surrendering my all to you, Lord. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to see. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I see that you are drawing in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing.
Give him a wave offering now. Just raise your hands. Oh, give him a wave offering. Them hands that one time held whiskey bottles and cigars and cigarettes or pornographic magazines, all types of old filth. Now you can lift them holy hands in the presence of God and worship the King, because you've been redeemed
and it's already quickened your body, raised it up. Glory. Hallelujah. Made it obey the word. Amen. That's why we clap our hands. That's why we rejoice. That's why we worship. Our bodies have been quickened to obey the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. For you are holy. Holy is the Lord. Sing it here as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Lord willing, see you again Wednesday night. If we're still here. Amen.
Holy is holy.
My God is
holy. Holy is our Lord. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord. For He is holy. Jesus is holy.
Mm-hmm.